The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid, wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Big Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. It's Thursday, May the 21st. Make sure and download, subscribe, rate, and review. Leave us a five-star review if you got a question, concerns, complaints, whatever it is. And if you want more of me in your life, I got some great news for you. I'm going to be appearing on the First Cut Golf Podcast this week to preview the match. Champions for Charity. I normally love to talk golf, but when Tom Brady, anyway, right? I love talking golf. I've been on that podcast before. But when Tom Brady and Peyton Manning get through the mix, you know, that I'm going to chat about it, especially with Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson. I'm all in for it. We'll be chatting prop bets, goat talk, and more. So download, subscribe to the First Cut Golf Podcast everywhere you find Pick Six. Speaking of golf, the only man to ever make me throw a temper tantrum on the golf course and threaten to leave him at the golf course, Pete Prisco.
That's me. You were a crybaby that day.
Oh my God. I was so mad. We were playing on the same team.
Hey, by the way,
the
governor of Pennsylvania needs to shut up.
What did he say?
He's mad Ben Roethlisberger went and got a haircut.
What?
Yep.
I thought Ben got it on like a plane or something.
No. Oh, he's mad. Oh yeah.
That's ridiculous. You can any more political thoughts?
No, that's not political. That's just asinine is what that is.
I agree with you. Pete and I are on the same team. And, at the turn, I was playing well. Pete was not. I was like, man, you're going to shoot your age, buddy. You go, oh, that's it. It's over. We're not on the same team anymore.
Went completely into the jar.
Into the jar. You're trash talking me. Par three. I can't get the ball. I ended up having you maybe you like I was like, I'll just take a six. You're like, no.
You no.
Put the ball in the hole.
It wasn't even close to a six. It would have been like a 14.
I had to take an 11 on a par three.
Yeah. It was bad. You couldn't chip.
Unbelievable. You beat me too. It was so bad.
Yeah, then. And then you were going to leave me at the golf course.
Yes. Yeah, I'm out of here. Somebody else take him home.
You know, we have a game we play sometimes with guys we work with, and I get so under their skin.
Who's the easiest to taunt?
Well, they get it to me too. They do it to me.
Who you
Brady, we get in Brady Quinn's head easy. He won't admit that, but you can.
Is Brady a good golfer?
Oh, he's a great golfer. He smacks the daylights out of it. You'll love this. We're playing one day nine holes and he wanted to play in the back. And I'm like, but at his place, it wasn't that far. So I said, all right, we'll play in the back.
I should play the tips.
Yeah. So he's ripping, hybrids and like three irons and whatever, you know, 250 yards. I go, hey, Brady, run around your driver, buddy. It's like a guy who runs around his backhand in tennis.
Ooh.
He pulled out his driver and yanked it in. And I ended up beating him, and he's a 10 times better golfer than I am.
You beat him straight up?
But he's a 10 times better golfer than I am, but I won that day. And then he had foot surgery, I think it was a week later, and he hadn't been able to play since. So I've been the champ all year.
Ouch. That's like, it's like Roy Williams, for UNC, you know, like the final game of like the season, like, you know, you lose to Syracuse by 30 points and then like the corona pops in and, you know, just lingering.
Yeah. It's like, you know what it is? It's like Buster Douglas got Mike Tyson. He'd never get him again, but he got him that day.
Yeah, exactly. I played, it's unbelievable how some of these like,
professional athletes. Like if you play, you play golf with them. And I mean, they like, so I played with, Ben McCauley, who used to play at NC State, played basketball at NC State, and, played with him like a week ago. I mean, he's hitting at 330, like just
crazy
bombing. Like I'm like, I like piped a driver and then he hits a three iron. It's like the same, it's like the same distance. It's
we like, have good, I mean, like Danny Cannell works with us, is a really good golfer.
Yeah.
I haven't played with him, but
well, Danny, you know, Danny was a baseball star too.
Yeah. Well, he grew up playing golf. If you grow up playing golf, you're usually a pretty good golfer. Or you can hear like some of the stories I hear. Do you remember basketball player Eddie Jones playing the NBA?
Yeah, of course.
Well, he's from down here. And I hear he plays every day.
That sounds awesome.
And he's become almost scratch.
Really? That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Have you ever played with a – have you ever played in like a pro-am or anything like that?
I've played in some pro-am stuff, yeah. Not well.
I played so we did this – we did the media tournament at the Wyndham Championship a few years ago. And one of our guys like had to bail for some sort of personal reason. And, William McGill, who is the, had been brought, he's a local kid. So he'd been brought up to like do the media, like talk about the course and all that. And he played with us for a few holes. It's insane. I mean, it's like he could like, and he's not even like a great pro by any stretch of the imagination, but he would just be like, all right, I'm going to hit, you know, this three wood, you know, 290 yards to like that spot exactly. We just uncork it. It's like, I couldn't, I just don't have.
I, you know, it's amazing you say that because I was once playing in Jacksonville. We got paired up with this guy and he couldn't have been 5'9", 150 pounds. And he was on the, one of those Corn Ferry tours or whatever, yeah, one of those. And he was hitting it 330 yards right down the middle.
It's I'm insane. Like,
where does that come from?
Yeah. Some guys just have it. And I wish I did.
Me too.
All right. Let's talk some more about your top 100 on yesterday's show. We broke down the top 25. We also had, of course, a, snubs episode with Brian McFadden the previous day and, the blog boys, the super friends are going to come on tomorrow's show and pick your list apart. Who,
I don't care what they say.
Yeah. Who's going to have the, who would be most annoying to get criticism from? Me? Wilson, Sean, or Breach?
A, B, C, and D.
E, all of the above. Okay, so Jalen Ramsey actually moved up last year. Did he deserve climbing up to 26? And do you think he will find his way back into the top 25 next year?
I think he's going to find his way back into the 25. I think when healthy, when focused, he's one of the best defensive players in the league. Now, it isn't always that way now. And he's got issues that he lets bubble to the surface. But when healthy and when focused, he's one of the top 25 defensive players.
I mean this in all sincerity. Do you know anything about Brandon Staley?
He's a good coach.
He is?
Really good coach.
Okay. Well, I mean, really. I'm like, I don't know anything about it. So I'm curious.
Really good coach. A lot of guys talk around the league about him.
Really?
I actually talked to Sean McVay about him, and he's so psyched to have him.
Really? Because, I mean, like, I think the prevailing thought is you lose Wade Phillips.
But you're bringing in – and now there is some criticism. People say Sean brought his buddies in.
Sure.
Because he knows all these guys since they came in together. They're all about the same age. But something about being comfortable, and this guy's – I'm telling you, this guy's a good coach.
Okay. He's never been a coordinator, obviously.
No.
Outside linebackers coach for Vic Fangio the last few years.
Right.
He's got Kevin O'Connell as his OC.
Really good coach, by the way. And I don't know Kevin, but I know a lot of people that know Kevin that I respect and I talk to about him. They say he's going to be really good for that.
So are you kind of high on the Rams then?
No. I think their team has all kinds of issues talent-wise.
Hmm. Go on.
Okay. I like the quarterback more than most people.
Sure.
Who's going to run the ball?
I like Daryl Henderson, but I don't know he's a workhorse in the NFL.
Right. So in their offense, they need that kind of guy.
Yeah.
The offensive line's still questionable.
The offensive line. Hey, do you remember a few years ago when Jared Veld here came back?
Yeah.
Like he was like sort of forcing it to come back.
Yeah.
And the Cardinals weren't very good.
Right.
You think there's a chance that Whitworth's doing
no,
that?
No, he can still play.
I know he can still play. I'm just wondering, like, because he thought about retiring. I didn't know if you thought there might be like.
No, Whitworth is the least of their problems. And, again, you know, receiver wise, they got to hope Reynolds can step up because they play a lot of three receiver sets.
Or Van Jefferson.
or Van Jefferson, if his foot's okay.
Yeah.
And then defensively, where do they rush the passer from beside Donald?
They don't have it. I mean, it's Samson Ebukam.
I'll give you a guy they really like though. And I was told this. Polite.
The kid out of Florida?
Yeah. And I guess he had.
Jags drafted him or the Jets? Jets.
No, the Jets drafted him.
Yeah. Jets.
Was it 2 years ago?
Yeah. Cut him.
But he had a
Ja'Kai
sleeping, sleeping issue.
Yeah.
So he was tired all the time. I guess he was, yeah, there's a story there. I don't know, something along the lines. He had a sleep issue and they fixed it. They found out it was something to do with screens. He was on the screens too much or something. I don't know.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah. So they think he could be a pass rusher.
Interesting. So he's like using his phone too much and it's causing him
up all night.
Oh, he wasn't sleeping.
Yeah.
I tell my wife this all the time. She's like, she's like blaring a podcast or like, you know, like watching like Law and Order SVU to go to sleep. I'm like, that's not going to work.
Like, no,
you're not going to go to sleep if you're watching a murder show.
Well, one of the worst things you can do is have your screens on before you go to sleep. Cause even when you do fall asleep, you're not really sleeping.
Exactly.
So yeah, well, he wasn't trying to sleep. He was staying up all night.
Pick up a book, Ja'Kai.
Yeah, so now I guess they figured that out, and they think he might end up being a pretty good pass rusher for him.
All right, we mentioned DeAndre Hopkins on yesterday's show, but worth noting that he is 31 below Chris Godwin. And I think my only concern is that like it seems too obvious that he's going to have a great year in Arizona.
But great year in terms of what? Was yards per catch get back to what it was?
Maybe. I don't know. That's
right. Has he slowed down?
I don't.
Isn't 15 to 13? Isn't that what it was? I think it went from 15 to 13. If I'm not mistaken, it was over 2 yards per catch.
I might have gone down from 13 to 11, but I will tell
no,
you.
No, look and see.
13.7 to 11.2.
Yeah, that's over two. That's almost 3 yards a catch.
What?
That's significant.
It's a lot.
So that's where my concern is with him. I do think he'll catch a lot of passes again. They get the ball out. And I don't know if the number is going to go up that high, though. Well, I mean, he had a lot of catches last year.
Yeah, he had 105 catches.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about Watt? J.J. Watt's at 32.
That one, I had the hardest time with J.J. Watt. Because part of me is like, okay, the injuries have taken over his body. And will he ever be the same? And then the other part of me knows him and knows what a madman he is, that if he does get it right, he's going to go back to being that same dominant player again. So well, I mean,
I don't know that he ever gets back to 2015. Like, I think that might have sailed.
What was that? How many sacks was that year?
2015, he had 17 and a half. I guess he had 16 in 2018.
Yeah, he can get to 15. He's not going to get to 19 or 20.
Yeah. I mean,
But like, he can wreck a game still.
Yeah. If he's healthy, the Texans can be good. If he's not healthy.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the concern. So I had a tough, of all the guys on the list, he was one of the guys I had a really tough time with.
He's the guy that you don't want to rank like 50th and then he has a huge year and like you end up seeing like him tweet out like screenshots of you ranking him 50th and be like just adding you and like ruining your life.
Yeah, I wouldn't ruin my life. I like JJ. I think I've done nothing but respect for the guy. I've had many a talk with him. I like him as a guy. And I think at the time, for a brief period of time, not even brief period of time, for a little span there, he was the most dominant defensive player in the league.
Absolutely.
I don't know if he can get back to that.
So like philosophically, would you take a guy who's older? I mean, you err on the side. I think you tend to err on the side of like not. Like, I think you tend to err on the side of caution. Like, even with Tom Brady, like, you're not going to like, nah, now's the year they're done.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Would most people put Tom Brady in the top 10?
No.
15?
Maybe. I don't know. I wouldn't put him in the top 15.
No.
You know, this is based, and again, this top 100 is, it's not like, who would you draft? Like, you know.
Right.
Because you would
right.
Quarterback, you wouldn't, quarterback.
Right.
It'd be
not most valuable player because you wouldn't take any running backs.
Right.
J.J. Watt is an older player. Calais Campbell's an older player. He's on that list. And again, he played too many snaps last year in Jacksonville for his age. He was still a dominant player. His sack numbers went down though, big time. And so there's got to be a little bit of a concern with him as well, but he's still a dominant player. So can you figure out how many snaps you can limit him to where he's back to being that double digit sack guy?
All right, the safeties are kind of interesting. Tyrann Mathieu, the Honey Badger, your boy at 34. By the way, Calais Campbell is at 39, for Pete was referencing. So you have Jamal Adams on the safety list. You got Derwin James, Harrison Smith. No Minka Fitzpatrick.
No, and let me go through those guys. Honey Badger in the second half of the 2019 season on into the playoffs was a defensive player of the year candidate. And he knows that. It took him a while to get going because they were adjusting to that defense. And I remember having this exact conversation with him, and he said, you're right. It took him a while to get going. But the second half of the season, he was defensive player of the year and on into the playoffs. So that's why he's ranked where he is. Jamal Adams didn't play as well last year as he did the year before, but still an elite safety. Harrison Smith's play has dropped down a little bit. I love Harrison Smith, one of my favorite guys in the league, but his play dropped down last year as the entire defense did. He's still good, and he should have been on the all-decade team, by the way.
How is Harrison Smith an all – I feel like we're getting – I guess I am getting old. I mean, we're talking about that 2011 draft on the last show. Like, J.J. Watt, also the 2011 draft. Like, I don't know if Cam Newton will get in the Hall of Fame or not, but I think A.J. Green, Julio Jones – I think Cameron Jordan will sneak in, J.J. Watt, Tyrann Smith. I mean, it's an insane list of, like, Hall of Fame.
Yeah, good draft. By the way, Harrison Smith, all-decade team, should have been.
Harrison Smith, 37. Jamal Adams, 42. You think the Jets will pay Jamal Adams?
Yes.
Oh,
interesting. They like him.
Okay. Why are they doing this to him, then?
Yeah, you just got to make guys sweat once in a while. By the way, they did draft the safety, so they protected themselves.
You know what I say, Pete? Just the guys who work hard, the guys on your team, your employees who work hard and key components to your team, you should pay them. Give them the money they deserve.
I agree. I'm a big believer in that.
And in football too.
I agree. Keep going down. I agree 100%. Keep going down that safety list.
Derwin James, 49.
And when he came back last year, he wasn't as good, but then he got right back into it and was as good.
He's one of the guys that looked on this list. Like, I think he'll be top 15.
He'll be higher next year.
He'll be like 15 or 20 if he plays all 16 games. And, who else was there?
Jimmy Ward's on the list.
Jimmy Ward is on the list. And you think he played better than Minka Fitzpatrick?
Justin Simmons played as well as anybody last year on the back end. He was phenomenal. Now, the question with Justin Simmons, can he do it again?
I would bet that he can because, A, he's playing for a big payday, and, B, the safety position is so valuable in that Fangio defense, it feels like, that it just makes – like, those guys can just be difference makers.
And it's nice to play that deep middle safety when you have those pass rushers in Chubb and Miller.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm a big Justin Simmons guy. And Simmons
78.
And then Jimmy Ward was in the, what, 90s?
93, and Kevin Byard, 94.
Who didn't play as well as he did the year before, but played close to it. Yeah. So that's a good position in the NFL now. It used to be a bad position. It's kind of flipped back over again where it's a really good position.
Yeah.
That's why Minka Fitzpatrick could have been on the list. I had a hard time with him. Again, he's one of those rising players who will be on the list next year.
It's also like a thing too. I mean, I'm assuming. Like, you get down to the bottom of this list, you got a little bit of, like, list fatigue. You know what I'm saying? Like,
because it took me so long to do it, and I talked to guys and stuff. I have guys that are in the 90s that I move out and move guys back up again. So that's where – and then I drop guys down, and I got to move everybody back up. And so, yeah, you get – I play with it for a long time.
But you know what I mean? Or, like, it's maybe a better example is, like, the NFL draft, right? So you have, like, the top 15 picks that you know are going to be, like it's not easy to sort them, but you know, like, who's in that pool. And then it's harder to figure out, like, who are the rest of the first rounders going to be. Like, there's a bigger pool of guys you could slide in.
See, what I think it is, it's more like a roster. If you took 46 to 53 on every team and flipped them all around, they'd all be the same guy.
Right.
If you took 46 to 53 and it replaced them with some of those XFL players, you wouldn't notice much difference. That's what you get at the bottom. The just missed guys could easily be in the 90s, whereas the guys that are in the 90s could drop down into the just missed guys.
Saquon Barkley at 35. Look, wasn't healthy, sprained his ankle.
Yards per attempt is down. Big 5.5, and the line didn't help him. Still an explosive playmaker when healthy and can catch the ball out of the backfield. So that's why he's where he is.
What do you think the Giants offense looks like this year?
Is Nate Solder still starting at left tackle? That's a problem. And he will be.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, it's a problem. He stinks. He was bad last year.
He was bad last year. Dave Gettleman hasn't done a very good job.
There he goes.
He hasn't.
You got something out for Dave Gettleman. I don't get what it is.
I widely
think Daniel Jones is going to be a good – Daniel Jones threw more – what do he throw, touchdown passes, compared to the legends in the game that you love, like Deshaun Watson? I think he threw two fewer. Is that right?
I think the complaint about Daniel Jones would be the
– He got hit. He turns the ball over because he gets hit.
He did fumble a league-leading 18 times.
What did – he got – you put anybody back there, you're going to get abused. How many – he has to be take better care of the football. How many touchdown passes did he throw?
24 passing touchdowns.
How many? And Deshaun Watson threw 26.
If he played a whole season, he probably would have broken the record.
If Deshaun Watson threw, he hasn't thrown more than 26 in his entire career.
It's because Bill O'Brien runs him in the red zone.
Am I wrong about that? The perception of Deshaun Watson is he's 30 touchdown guy, right? And he's thrown more than 26.
You're not wrong about that.
But yeah, Daniel Jones is going to be a good player, but go ahead, keep bashing on Gettleman because you can make a complaint about DeAndre Baker. Even though he started playing really well at the end of last year, there were always character concerns about the kid. Mm-hmm. You can make a complaint about drafting a running back in the top five, which you should never do.
Top two.
Should never do.
The Leonard Williams thing is a debacle.
That was weird.
You just don't trade him. I mean, just like sign him in free agency. You don't need to rent him for a half a year and then tag him.
Right.
And
give up that especially pick. With that team.
Yeah.
Unless you wanted to control your ability to keep them. Because you in free agency, you don't know if you're going to get them.
Yeah, I mean, I guess. I like Dexter Lawrence as a player, but, you know, he's a...
And Tomlinson's a good player.
Yeah.
They're decent up front. The problem is they don't have anybody who can really rush the passer. That's a problem.
Bradbury needs to have a really good year.
They overpaid him. They overpaid Bradbury.
Well, that's the thing is like Bradbury's the guy that he drafted to replace Josh Norman after he rescinded the franchise tag and say you don't pay guys in the back end. And then he went out and paid him in free agency. Like it doesn't.
That was an overpay. Yeah. But you know, look, the back end, they have guys back there that are capable. If Baker stays out of, you know, gets out of this Gale. Mess. Well, yeah, if he stays out of the mess, then they'll be okay.
Over under 5.5 wins for the Giants.
I think they're going to win like 6.
Okay. All right. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, Dak Prescott or Deshaun Watson, Dalvin Cook or Derrick Henry, AJ Green or Amari Cooper, Pete will tell you.
Picture that super soft t-shirt you love sleeping in. The one that gets softer and softer the more you wear it. Now you can bring that same lived-in softness to your entire bed with Signature Vintage Wash Sheets from Boll & Branch. This all-new collection is even softer than your favorite t-shirt with a distinctly relaxed look and feel for your best night's sleep. Just like all Boll & Branch bedding, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets start with the highest quality, 100% organic cotton. The lived-in feel comes from a small batch washing process, creating a level of softness you've never felt before. And it's not just the feel. Boll & Branch mastered the laid-back aesthetic using a special technique that creates the well-loved look you'll find with vintage jeans. And true to the Boll & Branch hallmark, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets get softer and softer with every wash. Right now, you can get 15% off your first order with promo code ODYSSEY and save on their most relaxing sheets. So head to BollAndBranch.com today. That's B-O-L-L and Branch.com.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Okay, Dak Prescott 46, Deshaun Watson 62. We already talked a little bit about Deshaun Watson and Dak, but I am curious, what is Dak's ceiling with Mike McCarthy's offense? Because it's a hard offense to learn.
It is a hard offense to learn, and he's not going to be around them that much.
Yep.
So that's a tough situation. Then you have the contract situation hanging over your head. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? Is it going to make him be more motivated, or is it going to be something that impacts him and is on his mind a lot? So I think there's a lot of things at play. If they can get some kind of deal worked out with him and he can spend time with Mike McCarthy, it's a great situation for him. You get CeeDee Lamb added to that, you know, group.
His offense could be incredible if they
the center position. They got to get good play out of the center, you know, whatever they play there. And then
who do you think is Looney or McGovern?
It's going to be a competition. I think Looney will win it.
Okay.
And then you got to get good play out of there. You got to get Tyron Smith playing back to what he was.
Yep.
But yeah, the potential for the offense is very good. The potential for Dak to be higher on this list is really good.
Dalvin Cook at 44 ahead of Dak Prescott, actually. And Derrick Henry at number 69. If you were starting a team,
I take Dalvin Cook.
Even the health concerns?
That's the only problem. He hasn't played 16 games, and that's got to be the one thing that he has to get past. But I want my back more like Dalvin Cook than more like Derrick Henry. I think Dalvin Cook is an explosive player. Derrick Henry's been good. Don't get me wrong. He's been much better than I thought he was going to be.
Yeah.
But again, the wear and tear on a big back, some of that starts, you know, over those carries, that's going to start to bother him a little bit.
The two guys, we texted about this. You think people complain he's too high? Joe Mixon at 73? I don't know that he's high enough. And Nick Chubb at 71. Chubb is underrated, man.
Chubb was fantastic last year.
He was awesome.
But Joe Mixon in the second half of the season when they started feeding him the football was fantastic. He had four of his 8 100-yard games in the second half. And I think one of those was 146 and one was like one – the numbers were pretty – those were high 100 games. It wasn't like it was 101, I don't think. I think one of them was pretty significant.
Does it bother you that you have all these – he had 162 in
126.
He had 146, 136, and 162 in
yeah.
Three of his five.
That's impressive. And I did talk to Zach Taylor about it at the combine. And he said, look, we figured out what we could and couldn't do. And then he started getting the football. And now the offensive line will be better. And I think I said it all along. I'm not backing off of my prediction. I think the Bengals are going to be sneaky good next year. And then the next year, they're going to be a playoff team.
I think they could flirt with the playoffs this year.
I love that team.
Burrow is a stud.
He's a stud. AJ Green will be there. Boyd's a good two. If they get whatever they get from Ross, he can fly. I think the offensive line will be much better. People think the line stinks. Look, I'm not a Bobby Hart guy, but I give it to him. Somehow they covered up for his ineptness last year. I think Hopkins, the center, is a good player. They love the young guard, Michael Jordan. They think he's going to be a good player. And Jonah Williams will start at left tackle. I think that
if Jonah Williams comes back and plays 16 games, that offensive line is substantially better.
Much better. And defensively, they're down four with Geno Atkins and DJ Reader and Sam Hubbard, who's a significantly better player than people know he is, and Carlos Dunlap, who's been phenomenal the last couple of years. Nobody's paying attention. Then all of a sudden you look at that line, they can rush the passer.
Dunlap 72 on this list, by the way.
Dunlap he's played well, man.
The Bengals could sneak up. Like, nobody's going to be looking for the Bengals to be any good either.
I think the Bengals will be better than the Browns.
Oh, that's a good take. I like that. So you're the Bengals. AJ Green, 63 versus Amari Cooper at 81. I mean, I understand what you're doing with Green. I just think Green, if he misses the season, I think you got to put him on like 99 or 100 or something.
No, he's going to come back and catch. If you love Joe Burrow the way you love him, what's he going to catch? 75 for 1,300?
You think so?
Yeah. If Joe Burrow's what you think he is and what I think he's going to be, he's going to catch 75 for 1,300.
You can get AJ Green in like the fourth round of fantasy.
I would take him.
You can get like Odell Beckham in the third round and AJ Green in the fourth round.
I would take Green over Beckham.
For 2020?
Yep.
You think he's going to have a huge year?
I do.
Interesting.
I think he's taken time off last year on his own, by the way. I think that was good for him. Who'd you say I had him over?
Amari Cooper.
Yeah, Amari Cooper. Look at the disappearing act. He had 27 catches on the road last year. Yeah. 27.
It's very bizarre.
Like he disappears.
He would have these monster games in Cowboy Stadium and then just
disappear on the road.
It's very weird. Juju Smith-Schuster at 84.
That was a tough one, another tough one for me. But again, we talked about it. No Ben, bad quarterbacks. Yep. He was hurt.
You have Odell Beckham at 64, by the way, right behind AJ Green. I mean, two just studs who, one of those dudes is bouncing back. I feel like you can almost guarantee.
Odell Beckham didn't have a bad year either. People think he did.
No, the offense was terrible.
Right, but look at his numbers. His numbers weren't awful.
Yeah, 1,000 yards. You also had at wide receiver Stephon Diggs at 91. Do you think the Bills will open it up?
They need to.
And how good do you feel about your prediction on this podcast that the Bills would win the AFC East in 2020, which you predicted before the 2019 season?
And I predicted that even if Tom Brady came back. And you know what? I think they would have won the division if Tom Brady came back. I think they're the best team in the division. Okay. I'm a big Sean McDermott guy. I'm a big Josh Allen guy. I think they're all going to grow together and they can have a chance to be a deep playoff team this year.
Are you going to pick the Bills to win the Super Bowl?
No.
You should.
I don't know who I'm going to pick to win the Super Bowl.
Pick the Bills. Why not?
Chiefs. How can you go against Mahomes? Come on.
Yeah, it's fair. Oh yeah, the Chiefs are your new Patriots. Cooper Kupp at 97. And then the guy that has ignited 1,000 text messages at 98, DJ Chark.
He caught 73 passes from stiff Nick Foles and a rookie quarterback. Think about that.
Yeah. I mean, talk about an all-time or not, like a guy who lives on the underrated team, DJ Chark.
And he also is entering his third season. Usually receivers are that much better from year two to year three. So that ignited Jamie Eisenberg, who was entitled to his wrong opinion, as always.
So you would take DJ Chark over Kenny Galladay?
That one was close for me. That was another one where Galladay was in and then went back out.
I think Sutton,
Galladay, and Chark all kind of in that grouping together.
And what about your man, Allen Robinson?
He was in that group too.
Talk about a guy who's caught passes from stiffs.
Oh, yeah. Look at that group, that four group. They're all about the same, wouldn't you say? So it was tough for me. I just kind of projected a little bit with the younger guy.
It feels like Allen Robinson should be 31 years old. He'll turn 27 in August.
Yeah.
By the way,
how old is DJ Chark? He's 23, 24.
I mean, think about the guys that, if you're looking at Allen Robinson, catch passes from Christian Hackenberg, that trash Penn State offense, trash Penn State quarterback, trash Penn State school. Then he caught passes. Now he's going to catch passes from Nick Foles, bum.
Caught passes from Blake Bortles.
Bortles and Mitch Trubisky. Oh. I'm mostly trolling Debo with that Penn State stuff.
Yeah, you really feel for Allen Robinson with that. But, I mean, look, Chark caught passes from Foles and Minshew last year.
Yeah, it's not great. Robinson quietly had just 98 catches for almost 1,200 yards, 7 touchdowns. Just grinding through a great season.
By the way, one of the guys I heard BMAC mention was Trent Williams on the podcast on Monday. Yeah. He was actually in there and I moved him down. We don't know if the age is going to be a factor. Is he the same guy? It was tough for me.
I feel like a year off and knowing that system, he's going to come in and light it up.
I think it'd be good too.
I think 140-1 to win comeback player of the year. What do you think?
140-1? Yeah. They will never give it to an offensive lineman.
Why not?
They just won't.
They could.
You just threw that money away.
I'm going to be writing articles all year long.
Because Ben Roethlisberger is going to win comeback player of the year.
He might stink.
Come on.
You know who else is listed as the comeback? Miles Garrett is 30-1. Coming back from the helmet suspension? Get out of here.
He was another one I had a tough time slotting him in.
Would you have Garrett?
In the 50s and 40s, 50s, somewhere in there.
47 for Miles.
Yeah. Yeah. That was a tough one for me.
He's a guy that I think is sneaky for defensive player of the year.
He can move up the list next year. He had 10 sacks in 10 games.
Yeah. If he just stays on the field, he would have ended up having to go to.
Some personnel guys I talked to said that you could make a case for him being in the top 10.
Wow.
I didn't buy that.
If you, I mean, he's got to play all 16 games.
Yeah, I didn't buy that one at all.
What's he to win Defensive Player of the Year at William Hill? Hold on, let me look at it.
Yeah, he's probably, you could probably get a good bet down on that.
What about Tre'Davious White? I thought he was a little low at 52.
No, I didn't. I didn't think he played as well.
Really?
The best year was his rookie year.
I think he still comes back and has a great season this year. Or do you think he's peaked?
I don't think he's peaked. I think as the defense gets better, he'll get better. He'll have a better corner next to Norman will play opposite him probably rather than Levi Wallace, and that'll help him.
I'm trying to find it now. If I bring up Defensive Player of the Year awards on William Hill. Debo, let me know.
What do you do with Shaq Barrett? That was a tough one for me. He had more sacks last year than he did his previous five seasons combined.
By the way, Myles Garrett, 25-1 to win Defensive Player of the Year.
Right.
That's pretty good odds.
Yeah.
Donald, 6-1. Watt, 9-1. Nick Bosa, 9-1. Joey Bosa, 14-1. Myles Garrett, 25-1 for Comeback Player of the Year, too.
Shaq Barrett.
Yeah. I mean, the problem is like he did it on that 1 year deal. And now he's on the tag, so maybe he does it again. But I think.
But he had more sacks in 1 year than he did in his previous five.
Let's see. Would you have him at 82? I think 75 is his ceiling.
Yeah, you have to put him in there, though.
Of course, yeah.
He
came out of the gates. He was like challenging for the sack record early on. Mark Andrews, I was surprised he went a little bit higher.
Yeah, I had a tough one with that one too. The tight end position. Where do you put him? You put ahead of Waller.
I would, but I could see the case not to.
Well, I mean, you could say, what if Waller played in that offense? He'd be the middle of the field threat. Like, you know what I mean?
Waller was at 79, Andrews at 100, but if you don't have Derek Carr to check it down to, you don't get as many passes.
Right. And he caught 90. He caught 90.
90 of them. It's insane. Let's see. What was I going to ask you about?
Missed guys. Those are the ones that I had problems with. Some of them were in.
Bud Dupree was kind of high on here too, I thought.
Bud Dupree had a great year last year.
Sure he did. But I mean, like same thing as like Shaq Barrett. He had to say.
Bud Dupree's been a quality starter for a long time. And now he's always been a really good run player. He just amped up his pass rush last year.
Finally got his pass rush going. All right. Just missed Austin Eckler. Surprised he's not on there. Brandon Scherff. Matt Judon of the Ravens, Jarvis Landry, DJ Reader, Yannick Ngakoue, Trent Williams, Devin McCourty, Minka Fitzpatrick, Vita Vea, Eddie Jackson, Anthony Harris, Taron Armstead, and, Jeffrey Simmons, David DeCastro, Julian Edelman, who you texted about. What was the text? Like, did you have him in?
No, I thought about putting him in. I couldn't put him in.
I don't think Edelman's a top. I think if you put Edelman in, you feel dumb about it a year from now.
Yeah, that's why I didn't put him in.
That's the thing. It's like, I mean, he caught 100 balls, but he was the only guy catching anything from.
Yeah, I couldn't put him in.
So like, you see, I mean, is that, you think
they're going to be bad?
You think they're tanking?
Yeah.
I don't think Belichick tanks.
Man, if he's smart, he tanks. I mean, unless he hits gold with Stidham. It's either one or the other. Either you hit gold with Stidham and you got Tom Brady, or you got tanking for Trevor.
Edelman might have had the best year of his career at age 33. What a weird career.
You're weird.
I know. All right. Anything else notable for you from that? No Chris Harris? How do you not put Chris Harris?
He's on the just missed. He didn't play as well last year. I would tell Chris that. Chris would be the first one to tell me that.
How good is that Chargers defense going to be?
Chargers defense is going to be good. By the way, he's going to play inside of that defense.
Yeah, I would assume so, right?
Well, they had Desmond King there, remember? And people thought Desmond King was the end-all, be-all at nickel corner, but Chris Harris can play inside from what I hear. That Charger defense could be really good. But they had Linville Joseph.
Yeah.
They got a ton of guys who can rush the pass.
Joey Bosa, Melvin Ingram. They added Murray at linebacker.
They get Derwin James back.
Yep.
Jenkins played great last year at the other safety.
Casey Hayward.
Yeah, they're going to be good on defense.
Yeah.
It's all about the quarterback position. Is Tyrod Taylor any good or would Justin Herbert be any good? If one of those guys is good, they'll be a playoff team. If one of them stinks, they both stink, they're not going to be a playoff team.
They both stink to win five games. Devontae Parker, he almost make it?
Almost did. But again, flash in the pan. We'll see if he can do it again.
Did you see him and Michael Thomas beefing on Instagram?
Yeah, that was funny.
Yeah. Why is he – who started it? Why is that happening?
I don't know, but those are great to see.
I love awesome, those. But like if you're Devontae Parker, just don't go at Michael Thomas. Like there's right. Like you're just not winning that one. Like you're not even in the same strategy.
No, yeah. They're not.
DJ Moore and AJ Brown, two other young Robert Woods also.
Yeah.
A ton of good young receivers.
There's a ton of receivers in the league.
They really
passing
are.
League.
That's what makes it hard too on this list. Like you can't have 40 receivers.
No, it's a passing league. It's tough.
All right. You did, you know what? This is a much less vitriolic discussion than our text thread this morning.
Well, you were a sneaky little Will Brinson.
I wish you could read these texts out on the,
No, you're not.
No, we'd be in trouble. No. Can we get one sample?
Can we get a sample of one Will? I think the listeners might like to hear what was going on in the thread.
I have one of those texts was your sneaky little.
Let's see. Hold on. Do your own bleeping list and let's see how much you don't know. That was to me and Jamie.
See, you know how I always, my learn the game thing I send out to people. Brinson's took that and now he's trying to use it back against me.
It's a list, idiot. However you rank things, you will get stuff wrong and your list is wrong a lot. That's Jamie back and Pete. I can't say those. Can't say those. It takes like 20 minutes to scroll back to this morning. Jamie, there's no bigger instigator on the planet than Jamie Eisenberg.
No.
It is unbelievable.
Without question.
What he does. And Pete's right. Pete pointed out to me that Jamie skates on this. He doesn't catch any crap. He just stirs it up in my direction.
Yeah, like we don't kill Jamie for going 5 for 17 in the starts of the week every year.
Right.
You'll love that one.
I don't know if I can read this. I can't read. They all have swear words in them. I can't even get back to this morning on the way you told me.
There was one of those ones where I said, told Jamie where you rank guys based on fantasy. This is reality.
They have an hour long show planned for Wednesday content and you took something that wasn't yours to fill your show. We are promoting your list. We're not filling my show. You called bleep and cried about us promoting your list. Unbelievable.
And what did I call you? A sneaky little.
Sneaky little bleep, 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 bleep. Yeah, it's all good.
Look, on this podcast, I can blame them. I'm going to blame Debo and EK.
Ooh, I like it. Stir the pot. See,
that's you, EK. That's you, EK. Yes, you, EK.
He's still
listening. The boy in the bubble.
He won't eat mayonnaise. Hates mayonnaise.
He always gets on me about having a weird palate, and I have a weird palate.
Yeah.
But he won't eat mac and cheese.
You should mail him some mayonnaise to his house.
I should mail him mac and cheese. He won't eat macaroni and cheese. What guy in his right mind has never eaten macaroni and cheese?
Have you had Chick-fil-A's mac and cheese yet?
No.
It is awesome. And
is it?
Each one of them has like a little like crusted amount of cheese, like
on
slightly,
the sides.
Slightly burnt and like,
yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, it's the best.
Really?
Yeah, go check it out.
Yeah, I might go there Sunday and get some.
All right. Coming up tomorrow. It's good. My Robbie wanted Chick-fil-A on Sunday. He's like, it's closed, man. He's like, but why? I'm like, well, there's this whole thing with Jesus. And
unless it's in the state, they close it in the stadium in Atlanta too, I think.
Yeah. They open it for like one random Sunday. I can't remember what it was. Darren Revelle tweeted about it, I'm sure.
I'll drive by there like on a Sunday and I'll say to my wife, I go, want some Chick-fil-A? Can't get it.
It's the worst is because you're like hungover on Sunday and you're like, oh my God, all I need is a chicken biscuit or a chicken sandwich. No dice.
Pete, I'd be curious to know what you think about this. I don't know if you've heard this before, but one of the super friends, John Breach, will get Chick-fil-A on Saturday and then warm it up on Sunday in the microwave.
I ain't playing that game with chicken.
It's disgusting.
That's gross.
That's his patented move.
He buys two sandwiches on a Saturday, eats one, and then saves the next one in his fridge and reheats it during football on Sunday.
No, that's gross. Go to Popeye's and get a sandwich the next day.
Wendy's. Wendy's has great spicy chicken.
Yeah, I mean, they're all the same to me.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not the same as been sitting in a...
They're all the same, except you can go through a drive-thru on Sunday.
Unless one is fresh on Sunday. No,
I'll tell you one thing about Chick-fil-A. They know how to get them in and get them out, though.
It's crazy, dude.
If everything ran as smoothly as Chick-fil-A does in terms of their drive-through, it'd be amazing.
If you get one of those franchises, you are printing money.
There's always a line.
There's always a line.
They know how to handle it because they bring out the people to take your card so you don't have to stand there and stutter while you get to the drive-thru.
You can do it on the app, too. They have an awesome app.
That's way too advanced for me.
Yeah, probably so. All right, coming up tomorrow, the Super Friends will break down Pete Prisco's list even further. You can watch Pete on CBS Sports HQ multiple times each and every week until he goes on vacation, which will happen at some point. And
next week.
Next week. So get your HQ in. CBS Sports HQ on your app, phone.
And Bluetooth. Send me a box of chicken nuggets from Wendy's. I mean, from Chick-fil-A. Those chicken nuggets are good.
They're delicious. Go get the chicken nuggets and the mac and cheese.
I will. You might make me go get that right now.
I kind of want it too. All right, Pete. Talk to you later, buddy.
See ya.
On May 23rd.
I want to go back to normal.
What's normal?
The Paramount Plus original series, Evil Returns.
We've already hunted werewolves and demons.
And now what? A baby antichrist?
Okie dokie.
Prepare yourself.
You will not beat us.
For the end.
I have visions of hell.
Make it stop. Make it shut up.
You're not gonna survive this.
Evil, the final season. Streaming May 23rd. Only on Paramount Plus.